you free from worry. You can get your copy of Unworried and any of my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Cresta in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
With the New York Times in one hand and the Catechism of the Catholic Church in the other, Al Cresta is ready for conversations of consequence.
America is as divided as it has been in 150 years.
Politics is symptomatic of the culture.
They don't have a personal relationship with Christ.
We've been sacramentalized, but not evangelized.
Why should Washington listen to us when our own house is in disarray?
The Church's greatest riches are her people.
Share the contagious joy of being a friend of Christ.
Story after story after story. Story of people who have had inexplicable healings.
Broadcasting from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and taking a closer Catholic look at current events, issues, and ideas. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.
That's beautifully said, Al.
Thanks for your voice for liberty.
It's like a homecoming each time on your program.
Clear to me that you've thought these things through at a deep level.
Let's build the church, and then we'll bless the nations. And good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Glad to have you with me for another hour here, talking about the things that matter most. We've reintroduced the idea of pilgrimage into our conversation over the last 15 years or so. It's a discipline, a spiritual discipline, which was common in earlier ages in the Catholic faith, but was largely lost, I think, in the 20th century. We're trying to encourage pilgrimage again. It's, again, one more way of learning to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. We're going to be going, Steve Ray and I will be leading groups to Poland coming up in August of this year. And I've asked Steve to join me this hour to talk a little bit about Poland. He's visited there before. Poland has faced hardship throughout the 20th century. Its borders were always under attack. The shape of it as a nation was always under attack and reformation. And yet, the Polish people have been some of the greatest champions for liberty and freedom. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the remarkable Polish saints and heroes like St. Faustina, St. John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe. And you'll have opportunity to join us for that trip to Poland coming up later this year. Also going to introduce you in the next hour to a new film coming out called The Divine Plan, God's Work through John Paul II and Ronald Reagan. Our friend Dr. Paul Kangora had a hand in the formation of that movie, but chief is the filmmaker Robert Orlando. Both will be joining us to talk about two screenings coming up where you'll be able to see The Divine Plan, God's Work through John Paul II and Ronald Reagan. But first, let's get to today's headlines.
Thanks, Al. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Tuesday, March 5th. It's the Feast of St. John Joseph of the Cross. Today's news is brought to you by the Ave Maria Family of Funds at AveMariaFunds.com. Pope Francis says he'll open the Vatican's secret archives to release materials from the time of Pope Pius XII, who led the Catholic Church from 1939 to 1958. Historians have debated whether Pius was too silent against Hitler, while others have praised the work he did to resist the Nazis. Speaking on Monday on the 80th anniversary of Pius's election as Pope, Francis said he hopes the documents can help shed light and that the Church is not afraid of history. The archives will be released in March of 2020. President Trump is poised to issue his first veto over his declaration of a national emergency at the U.S.-Mexican border. Ohio Republican Senator Rob Portman said he supports Trump's plan for the border, but disagrees with the president issuing a national emergency declaration.
The reason I feel that is for two reasons. One, I think it's going to set a bad precedent. In other words, future presidents would be able to use a national emergency going against the will of Congress for other issues. And second, you know, it's going to get tied up in the courts.
The House has passed a resolution blocking the executive order, and the Senate could follow suit after Kentucky Republican Rand Paul announced he's opposing that border declaration. Paul warned that it's, quote, a dangerous thing to inhibit congressional checks and balances. Under the emergency order, Trump aims to bypass Congress and divert Defense Department funds to help build a border wall. The White House is rejecting Democrats' demands for documents about its security clearance process. The documents are related to President Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner's security clearance. And an HIV-positive man is the second person known to be cleared of the AIDS virus. Doctors say the man from London has been virus-free for 3 years after receiving a bone marrow transplant from an HIV-resistant donor and 18 months after coming off of antiretroviral drugs. I'm Steve Clark, Ave Maria, Radio News.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Creston. It's good to be with you. You know, here's an interesting little tidbit that Bryant gave me today. He said, you know, at the close of February, I think it was February 22nd, back in 1931, St. Faustina wrote that on that night, February 22nd, 1931, while she was in her cell, Jesus appeared wearing a white garment with red and pale rays emanating from his heart. And this is in her notebook, in items 47 and 48. And Jesus said to her, "Paint an image according to the pattern you see with the signature, Jesus, I trust in you. I desire that this image be venerated first in your chapel and then throughout the world, and I promise that the soul that will venerate this image will not perish." End quote. Now, of course, Faustina was not a painter herself, and so it took a while. I think it was 3 years before there was the first artistic rendering of that particular image. But later this year, Steve Ray, myself, and two buses of others are going to be going to Poland to on pilgrimage to some of these great sites in the life of St. Faustina, St. John Paul II, and really celebrating the Polish people who are intensely Catholic and who have a great love for freedom, and they also have a great love for the United States. Steve Ray's with me right now, and you've just gotten back from pilgrimage in Israel, right?
Yeah, about a week ago, and we're leaving again on Wednesday for another one.
Oh, I'm glad you like travel.
I do. I don't like the travel. I like being there. I wish we could do the Star Trek thing where they say, "Beam me up, Scotty." I wish we could skip the flying in airports, but I do love to travel, and I do love showing people these wonderful Catholic sites and watching their lives transformed.
Sally and I have been with you on the footsteps of St. Paul in the Holy Land, and those are experiences that are formative for a person's life. You never forget what you did, what you saw, and you always want to do it again.
I know. That's why I keep going back over 160 times to the Holy Land alone.
Pilgrimage is a ancient idea within Christianity and actually other religions as well. Pilgrimage is a way of displacing oneself in pursuit of sacred truths. We're going to Poland in August, and tell us a little bit about it.
Poland is an absolutely fascinating country that we've done quite a few, you know, a good number of pilgrimages there. And I have to step back in time, though, because in 1985, my wife and I, my parents had retired. We had two kids. The six of us took off, and we went to Europe. But I wanted to see the communist countries.
Yeah.
And we were at Swiss Le Brie with Francis Schaeffer, and they had a bunch of medicine and money and books that they wanted to smuggle into Poland. I said, "Well, I have a Volkswagen, and I'm going." We took the car apart, and we stuffed all the underneath the seats and in the dashboard. We put all the money, all this medicine for the Christians there, books and everything. That car was just loaded with contraband.
Yes.
And we drove through Checkpoint Charlie, through East Germany, and we came into Poland, into Poznan at first, and we met up with some Christians there, and I gave them all that stuff. But it was a scary experience because when we went through Checkpoint Charlie, there's police dogs, machine guns, barbed wire. We're already in the chute going in. There's no backing up. The car that was in front of
you're
us.
You're committed.
Oh, I was you're committed. There's no reverse at that point because there's other cars behind me, and they funnel you in with all these police dogs. You're now going across the border into communist East Germany. And the car before us, we sat in line for an hour while they took the dashboard out, all the seats out. They were inspecting that car for exactly what our car had in it. And I kept praying, "Lord, make us invisible." Well, anyway, we drove through there, And they saw my mom and dad and two babies in the back, and they just waved us through, and I was so glad. Dogs are police dogs are barking at us. It was just quite a terrifying moment. But we went into Poland, and I still have vivid memories of Poland, of people who would not look you in the eye, of a country that was bleak and dark.
This is what
and
I
depressed.
I remember talking to you after you went there, and what I remembered from that conversation is that it was black and white between West Germany and East Germany. In the absence of color. That was the thing that most impressed me from what you said.
It was. There was no color.
Yeah.
In Western Europe, there's color, there's beauty, there's signs, there's houses painted. People are rejoicing in their freedom, so to speak, you know, without even realizing it. But you cross that border, and it's like you go into a different planet.
Yeah.
And police were everywhere. When we stayed at our first hotel in Poland, when we were in the reception lobby, we saw up above the desk about 50 tape recorders. We knew that every room was being recorded because you could see them all there. You saw them when you walked in, that there was recordings. Each room was being recorded. So Jan and I are very careful what we said everywhere because everything was being spied upon or recorded. So it was bleak. It was dark. It was unfriendly. People would not look you in the eye. That was Poland under communism.
Yeah.
Now we go back again after the wall came down,
yeah.
Thanks to John Paul II and Ronald Reagan and what happened up in Gdansk.
Yeah. Yep,
and we're
solidarity.
And we're going to go to Father Jerzy Popielewski's tomb and have mass there. One of the great, probably the chaplain of the whole thing.
Yep.
And now it's colorful. People look you in the eye. They smile. Everything is Catholic. It is a day and night difference. The Polish people, I love them. I love being there with them. When I go to Poland, I don't want to leave. They're so Catholic. They're so now friendly. They're enterprising. Everything's colorful. And the food is marvelous.
So when are we going?
Well, I have it right here in the brochure, August 21 through 30th.
Okay.
And that's this year.
Inviting people.
We're inviting people. I have one of my favorite pilgrimage priests coming with me, Father Franz Burkhout. He's a lot of fun. He's very devout. He's a philosopher. He likes to debate atheists. And when we're on the trip, on some of the longer trips, he's going to give talks. Visual talks about how he debates with atheists and stuff. So it's going to be a seminar. This is not just going to be eating and drinking and seeing stuff.
Yeah.
This is going to be a really intense time. We're going to follow John Paul II, his whole life. We're going to follow Maximilian Kolbe. We're going to go to Auschwitz. We're going to see the cell where Maximilian Kolbe died, gave his life. We're going to follow Maria Faustina and the Divine Mercy. We're going to have Mass in that church, and we're going to pray the Divine Mercy in front of her relics.
I mean, think about this. These are the great Catholic names of the 20th century.
That's right.
I mean, think about how the world is different because of Paul II and Faustina.
And Faustina.
Yeah. And, of course, Maximilian
Kolbe. And Maximilian
Kolbe,
here you are on the radio.
Yeah.
He was kind of the
patron saint
of Catholic communication.
Yes, he was.
And
yeah.
We're going to go to his compound where he started all of this Catholic communications. And we're going to see his printing presses. We're going to see everything that he had set up in this place with his Franciscans. And then see Auschwitz. I mean, the levels of history we're going to see in Poland is really quite remarkable. And we're going to see the city of Warsaw. We're going to go and see where the ghettos, where the Jews were in the ghetto. And we're going to go from there. We're going to go up to Zakopane, the mountains, beautiful mountains where John Paul was going skiing. So the scope and the vision that we're going to have here is just remarkable.
How different is it living in a country that is so bathed in Catholicism compared to the U.S.?
There is a big difference. Depends on where you are in the U.S., of course. I mean, I just got back from a very small farming town with people just devout Catholics.
Yeah.
It's just such a wonderful place. But being in Poland, it is very Catholic. Everything is Catholic. You can sense it. You can smell it in the air.
Yeah.
And the people are proud to be Catholic. They're not letting Muslim immigrants in because they don't want other religions and cultures to water down or to destroy their Catholic culture.
Right.
And when you're in a country, 97%, I think it is, people claim to be Catholic, even if they're not practicing. It's still, there's a vibrant, a throbbing in the air that you can feel it.
Yeah. No, it's going to be, I think for many of us who are going to be, this will be the first time we've ever been in such an intensely Catholic culture.
And churches are packed. I mean, on Sunday morning, don't think you're going to go to church and get in unless you're an hour early, and it's all young people. I mean, Poland is throbbingly Catholic, and the churches are full, and it's a beautiful thing to see.
So they are passing the faith on, then, to the next generation.
They are. I think any culture that has come out of the poverty of the Nazi regime and then the Soviet Union, once it gets the taste of wealth and of the secular, right, these things, you know, you get enticed by rock and roll and all of,
right,
this stuff.
Right.
But at the same time, they are maintaining their Catholicism. And our guide, his name is Alex. He is he's a historian and a great friendly guy and a devout Catholic. And I love going back. I'm glad that we're doing it again. I'm glad you're going to join us, Al, because we'll be giving talks along the,
yep,
way as our conversion,
yep,
stories, and,
yep,
we'll be giving talks about the Polish people, too.
Well, John Paul II is my favorite human of the 20th century. And what's interesting is that he did not have a whole lot to do with my return to the Catholic Church, because I wasn't paying that much attention. But once I became Catholic and began to read him and got familiar with him and saw the extraordinary impact he had on world affairs while he maintained a life of heroic virtue and piety, I don't think, for me, it's hard to find somebody in the 20th century who is worthy of as much emulation as him.
And you're going to be immersed in his life from A to Z.
Yeah.
We're going to go to his birthplace, which is now a museum that shows all these wonderful pictures that you've never seen anywhere else probably there, but in the museum, it's just, you follow his life from his birthplace where he had his first mass. We're going up to the place where he skied all the time, and we're going to, yeah, go up and enjoy the mountains for a day, kind of
sure,
in the middle, kind of to relax and enjoy it. These wonderful shops out on the marketplaces and wooden churches that the mountaineers, they built churches for him to honor him. These beautiful wooden churches. And we're going to have a mountain lunch. And also what they call the mountain tea. We had a nun with us one time, and she said, "Oh, no, I can't drink this. My mother superior never." I said, "Sister, just try." And she said, "Okay." She goes, "Oh, this is good." And then when we got up to leave, she said, "Would someone take my arm, please, and help me to the bus?" But, you know, we want to experience the culture,
yes,
too. The food,
yes,
and the drink and what the mountain people do, where John Paul loved those mountain people. So we're going to have a good time.
So, again, tell us, people can go to avimariaradio.net.
Right.
We'll have it there in the slider at the top of our web page. We have, opportunity to join us in August, at the end of August. They can also contact you
on my website, catholicconvert.com. Up at the top's a pilgrimage link. You can, by the way, we have an interactive map. So if you go to my website, catholicconvert.com, hit the pilgrimage link. When you get there, go to Poland, and we have an interactive map. You can actually see where we're going to go, and you can click on each one of the sites, and you're going to get pictures and videos of what you're going to see at that site. I have the whole... we have the whole itinerary down there for you of all the places and things we're going to see and do and where we're going to have Mass. And if you want to, go to my past pilgrimages, and you can actually,
yeah,
watch a 90-minute video of our last pilgrimage we took to Poland.
And
if you're not convinced, watch that and you'll want to come.
Amen. It's in August, but that doesn't mean it's a long way away.
You got to sign up now. It's going to sell out.
Yeah, yeah. So now's the way to take care of this. Go to CatholicConvert.com or AveMariaRadio.net. And we'll see you there. I'm Al Cresta.
Have you thought about what you're doing for Lent this year? The St. Paul Center is launching its newest video Bible study, Genesis to Jesus. Developed by Scripture teacher Scott Hahn, Genesis to Jesus teaches participants to read Scripture from the Catholic perspective. And starting Ash Wednesday, this study is offered at no charge. More information is available at stpaulcenter.com. That's stpaulcenter.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Are you fed up with the current healthcare system, paying too much for your healthcare cost? Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. Visit SolidarityHealthShare.org to join like-minded Catholics in sharing medical expenses.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. I want to announce that Steve Ray and I will be going on pilgrimage to the great land of Poland, August 21st to August 30th.
We're going to follow John Paul II, Maria Faustina and the Divine Mercy, and Maximilian Kolbe. We're even going to visit Auschwitz and see the place where Maximilian Kolbe gave his life in the cell there.
People can get more information at AveMariaRadio.net. And where else, Steve?
CatholicConvert.com. Click on the big pilgrimage banner or call 866-468-1420.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, Byzantine iconography draws us into the very mystery of our faith and provides us with the one and only honest vision of all of life. Lent, in turn, helps us to live according to that vision.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO, Ave Maria Radio.
Fire on the Earth's Peter Herbeck on living for God and for the world's possessions.
Whatever they are, the things you want to possess and have in this world, we sometimes hide them from God. We don't want to bring them into our relationship with God because we're afraid he might say something. We don't want to hear about those things. You can't have both. And Jesus is saying, as long as you hold on to those things, you're not going to make progress. At the end of your life, when I call you home, the story of your life will have been written. It will be all there for my Father to see. What did you want in this world? Did you really seek God? Did you love God first? If you did that, there will be a glorious story that's communicated for all eternity. But friends, if we were half in and half out, or Jesus talks about as being lukewarm, that mainly our Christianity, our Catholicism, is kind of driven by a sort of slight sense of guilt, that's all going to be revealed. And there'll be tremendous sadness. And the scripture says we will pound our chests with regret and cry out, what was I thinking? So that's why the Apostle Peter says, strive, friends, make every effort. For if you do this, you will never fall. Embrace it, run after it.
Peter Herbeck spreads fire on the earth, weekday mornings at 6:30 and again at 11:45 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
It's practically an epidemic. 20% of Americans suffer from anxiety disorders, and millions more wrestle with worry and stress on a daily basis. For us as Christians, all that worry gets mixed up with a lot of guilt. How can we stop worrying and start living an anxiety-free life? I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and in my new book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, you'll learn how to respect how God made us and build new habits of thinking, communicating, and acting that will help set you free from worry. You can get your copy of Unworried and any of my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
Good afternoon to you. I'm Al Cresto. We've talked many times over the years with Dr. Paul Kengor about the remarkable convergence of his titanic historic figures that brought about the collapse of Soviet-style communism. In particular, St. John Paul II and Ronald Reagan. And, of course, we've also taken a look at the Fatima connection there. I'm glad to say that the story has been adapted into a film now, which explores how God worked through these men. And joining me right now to talk about it is the director of the film, Robert Orlando. It's called The Divine Plan. He has other film credits to his name, Apostle Paul, A Polite Bribe, and Silence Patton, First Victim of the Cold War. And Dr. Paul Kengor, of course, you know well as a frequent guest on this program. He's professor of political science at Grove City College, the author of over a dozen books, including A Pope and a President, John Paul II, Ronald Reagan, and the Extraordinary Untold Story of the 20th Century. Gentlemen, it's good to have you with me. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Al. Good to be back.
Well, let me just start with you, Paul. It's not untold anymore, anyways. You've told the story, and now it's going to be a movie. So tell me how you got involved with Robert.
Well, that's right, Al. And in fact, I should clarify. So this particular film is, although I think Rob would agree that it was inspired in part by A Pope and a President and what I had written in that book, this is completely different. This is, Rob on his own went out and took this entirely different approach of looking at Ronald Reagan and John Paul II through the prism of of their earlier lives as actors.
Yes.
You know, actors, all the world's a stage, right?
Right.
And then later in the 70s and 80s, they would ascend to this world stage, this ultimate platform, which they believed was, in their view, part of what Bill Clark called the DP, the divine plan. And I'm just one of, I think, about 14 or 15 people
yep.
that Rob has interviewed for this film. And you know, Al, it's an amazing cast.
I can't
believe everybody he got. George Weigel, Ann Applebaum, John O'Sullivan, Bishop Robert Barron, Cardinal Dolan, the top Reagan biographers, H.W. Brands, Douglas Brinkley, editor of the Reagan Diaries. So just an amazing cast of people that he's assembled. And it's beyond a Pope and a President, which is much more of a factual narrative chronological account. This takes a deep dive into the theology, the philosophy, the idea of free will, God's thinking, God's plan for all of us.
Well, Robert, it's great to have you here. Tell me a little bit how you entered into this story. What first drew you? When were you first amazed by the conjunction of these two remarkable figures?
So I was always aware of them. I grew up in that period of time, but it was sparked by when I heard Dr. Kingor deliver at Grove City College a talk on the relationship specifically of the two. But he was almost doing a deep dive in his presentation, unlike the epic size of his book, The Pope and the President. And I started to get more of the sinews between why their lives were connected. And when I connected the idea that they are both former actors, being someone who walks between the film and religious world, I just understood how much power that they bring in training and technique, along with their faith, to be able to hold an audience, communicate well. Then on top of that, when I realized they had come together, I saw that as a challenge of storytelling. Like, can I dig deep enough and pull out enough research to find out that they actually came together after their attempted assassination
yes.
and were very effective in what Pope John Paul II describes as pushing over the rotten tree of communism?
That's a great line. When did President Reagan first get an inkling that Pope John Paul II might well be the key to bringing down communism?
Go ahead, Barnard, Paul.
Well, he got it for sure in June 1979 when he was at home in California watching footage of John Paul II's first visit as Pope to Poland. And among the people, Al, that Rob interviewed for this film is the only eyewitness to Ronald Reagan's reaction that day, and that's Richard V. Allen.
Uh-huh.
And it's Dick Allen, who's Catholic, and he's now, I think, Rob, in his early 80s, I believe. And you talk about the DP, the divine plan. I just happened to exchange an email or two with Dick Allen about the book, A Pope and a President, and I told him about this film that Rob was doing, and he just happened to be vacationing in two or three days, about a half an hour from Rob's house in New Jersey.
And two blocks.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And so I connected the two of them, and right before he flew back home out west, he and Rob connected, and Rob sat him down for an interview. So quite remarkably, we actually have Richard Allen sitting down on camera. I think it's the only case where this has ever happened, talking about that moment when he and Ronald Reagan sat there in Reagan's living room and watched the footage of John Paul II returning to Poland. When Reagan said, "Dick, that's it. The Pope is the key. The Pope is the key. The Pope is the key."
A fairly remarkable admission from a kind of a low church, I think Disciples of Christ background or Church of Christ background, not given the high sacramental theology or anything. Reagan saw in the Pope a figure who was committed to overtaking communism. What prepared Reagan to see in the Pope a figure? He apparently had no anti-Catholic animus.
I think there's two things here. One thing we speculate on, and Craig Shirley speaks to it in the film, is the idea that while Reagan wasn't specifically a Catholic, he did come from, at least on his father's side, a Catholic background.
That's true. Yep.
And once a Catholic, always a Catholic.
Yeah, good point.
So it was in his genes a little bit. But then we also, I think I came to believe that they shared concepts that transcended denomination, like human dignity, human freedom, faith, elements that I think cross over, just like any ecumenical union would be formed. So I don't know if he was stuck there as much as he was looking at the goodness that could be done.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I'll add to it that you see early in the character development is originally the Pope was listening more to the rhetoric coming from American media about Ronald Reagan and thought he was a bit of a warmonger, and he looked forward to meeting him because he wanted to see if he was a man of peace. And once he met him, and this is George Weigel telling me this, but once he met him, he told his peers, yes, I can deal with Reagan. Reagan is a man of peace first. And then later, as we know, with Gorbachev, he got in trouble for being a peacenik with the conservatives. So I think that John Paul has almost needed a little bit of a feeling out, but then they agreed with each other. They're both aligned in the same destiny.
Yes. Did John Paul II... when he went to Poland, his attack on communism was really an oblique attack rather than a frontal assault. Can you, Paul, describe for us why that was the case?
Yeah, I mean, to some degree, Al, he was careful, he was diplomatic, but he was also, he was strong, he was forceful. In that first big homily that he gave in Warsaw, at Victory Square, of all places. I mean, I love the fact that he symbolically picked Victory Square to make that statement. And he said, there can be no independent Europe, there can be no just Europe without an independent Poland marked on its map. And I suppose he could have said something like, the USSR is an evil empire would have been stronger. But to say that there can be no just Europe without an independent Poland marked on its map is quite a remarkable statement.
That is pretty strong, isn't it? Yeah.
It is, and it's what many in the Vatican didn't want him to say, including Cardinal Casaroli, who had been the sort of détente, Ostpolitik Secretary of State to Pope Paul VI. It was very much a departure from the accommodation of Pope Paul VI. And also from the accommodation of Richard Nixon, which is what Ronald Reagan would change, between Nixon and Gerald Ford and Jimmy Carter when Reagan came in. And then, of course, when the Holy Father told them, be not afraid. And I think that was more subtle in a way, right? He didn't have to say, be not afraid of these communist
right.
guns that are surrounding you. Be not afraid of the evil empire. He just simply had to say, be not afraid, because he knew what everybody was afraid of.
Yeah.
George Weigel describes it as pulling at one of the threads of a tapestry, that once he started pulling at it, he knew the whole tapestry would come down, and it was a matter of time. And because he had so many witnesses, the communists were handcuffed to really go after him, which they eventually did, as we know in the film.
Right. The Vatican has been reluctant to speculate on the plan behind the attempted assassination. Is that just a matter of diplomacy? And tell me why they are not more explicit.
Yeah, I think it is, Al. And in the time since a pope and a president has come out, I've talked to a number of sources, including one former ambassador to the U.S. ambassador to the Holy See, and I've speculated as to why the CIA under Bill Casey, a devout Roman Catholic, and Rob spends a good deal amount of time in a fascinating segment of the film on this. But Casey did a study, ordered a study internally, and the United States concluded that the Soviets were behind the attempted assassination of John Paul II,
yep.
specifically through the Soviet GRU, military intelligence. Now that report still has not been released. Moscow still has never talked about what they know, what Vladimir Putin. I mean, surely Vladimir Putin in power since the year 2000. I mean, I know he wasn't involved in this in the 80s, but having come up through the KGB and been basically an authoritarian dictator for 19 years now, in modern Russia, he knows what happened. But what I've been told is that the Vatican is the one that prefers that the United States not talk about what happened, not share what we know. That had been John Paul II's policy back in as late, well, probably by night. Well, he told it to Bill Casey, likely around 1985, 1986. He told it to George H.W. Bush's ambassador, Thomas Mellody, when Mellody first got his credentials. Mm-hmm. That would have been around 1989. And I understand that remained his position until the end of his life. And I'm guessing, although I don't know if anybody's bringing it up there today, but I'm guessing, and I've been told by more than one source, that might well be the Vatican's position still today.
Okay.
To simply let it go and not publicly talk
about
it.
Right, right. My guests, Dr. Paul Kengor and filmmaker Robert Orlando, were taking a look at The Divine Plan, God's Work through John Paul II and Ronald Reagan. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Al Cresta.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds don't, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. Tomorrow, the season of Lent begins. By our penance, we say no to ourselves and yes to God and others. This reverses the power of sin by which we say yes to ourselves and no to God and others. A perfect Lenten practice is to speak up even more for unborn children. Lent calls us to greater love and less selfishness. When we defend the unborn, we defend people who cannot thank us and who don't even know we are defending them. This makes our efforts even more sacrificial and selfless. At times, we will suffer ridicule from others for our pro-life stand. To sacrifice our comfort, our pride, or our popularity is a beautiful Lenten sacrifice that brings us closer to the Lord and brings the unborn closer to safety. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
I am glued to my phone, but not for pleasure. My work keeps me texting and emailing all day long. I take calls, go onto social media, and check voicemail for work. I didn't realize how much it bothered my daughter until we jokingly placed a bet. What she wanted if she won was a day with me without my phone. Not a new game or a new piece of clothing. She didn't wager a movie or money. She wagered my time. What a reality check. She asked for a mommy and daughter day that included me leaving my phone in my purse. I could not text, call, or email one person. I could not respond to calls or voicemails. I had to give her all my attention. But I have work and I have clients. But I also have a daughter. And when she takes notice of me being distracted, so do I. I'm grateful that some of the lessons I teach her are being absorbed. She found her voice to express how she feels and what she wanted from her mom was time. Are you spending quality time with your kids? This has been a Christ Center communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. With me, Dr. Paul Kengor, professor of political science at Grove City College, and Robert Orlando, director of The Divine Plan. We're taking a look. Let me say, there's going to be special screenings in Southeast Michigan Friday, March 15th, and Saturday, March 16th at Orchard Lake Shrine Chapel. Now, you can learn more at orchardlakeschools.com. And, of course, we'll have information on AveMariaRadio.net as well. And at the close of this segment, we'll also get further details about the upcoming showing of this new movie, The Divine Plan. Robert, I'm curious, from your own background, did you see when this was all coming down back in the late 80s, did you think that you were seeing a divine plan being worked out here?
I wouldn't have characterized it that way at the time, no.
Okay.
I can say I did have a connection with Ronald Reagan. As a matter of fact, my earliest memory is I went with a church youth group, to one of these broadcasting, I think it was the National Broadcasters, Religious Broadcasters,
sure.
NRB.
Yeah,
and he was beamed in on a videotape. He made that famous speech from Orlando at the time, but he was beamed into our auditorium, and I was with my youth group. So I do understand that there was a connection of Ronald Reagan's roots and his conservatism within the church. But beyond that, no. I obviously, as a Catholic, I understood who John Paul II was, and living in New York with a lot of Polish people, you can't help but know who John Paul II is. So I was kind of, you know, thrown in the waters of those two people very early on.
You know, Al, I would add here, too. So right now on the phone we have, or in this discussion, we have three Catholic reverts.
Oh, is that?
Rob even spent some time at Reformed Theological Seminary.
Sure, in Jackson, Mississippi, I think, right?
Yeah. So and so I think all three of us, well, Rob, it was in Florida, right?
Oh,
Rob.
I knew both of them, but yeah, it was most of my time was down in Florida.
Is that the one with R.C. Sproul? Was that?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I remember that.
Carl Henry, R.C. Sproul.
Yeah.
J.I. Packer.
Yep, all very important people to me too. Yeah.
Well, and also in the companion book that will go along with this film, and the book's also called The Divine Plan, and that'll be published in June. But Al, you'll really appreciate it because we really call on our backgrounds, our ecumenical backgrounds. We quote R.C. Sproul.
Very good.
We quote C.S. Lewis, Peter Kreef, Fulton Sheen. So, you know, as you know, a lot of these thinkers, Calvinists, Reform, you know, people talk about sovereignty of God, others, you know, they've spent many, many, many years and a lot of time and a lot of ink cogitating over God's divine plan for us. And that's something that Ronald Reagan and John Paul II both thought about a lot. And
yes.
Of course, it wouldn't surprise anybody that a pope would think that way. But Ronald Reagan, it'll really surprise people to see again and again and again in his correspondence, his speeches and interviews going back to the 60s, even before that, where so many times he'll say, well, I don't know why this happened, but looking back, I guess God had a plan.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Or he'll write to a widow and say, I can't explain why this happened to your husband, but you know, it's hard to know, but God has a plan. And in the end, God works everything out for the good. So he had this very strong providential sense of God's sovereignty that really permeated everything that he thought about. And then especially in the 1980s and early 1980s, after he and John Paul II survived the assassination attempt, he felt a sort of added, even heightened call from God to do God's will in taking on this evil empire.
This was true.
I would like to add one.
Yes,
thing
go ahead, Robert.
Idea of us three, we all being reverts, because I think it plays into this. When you are a revert, you tend to see from within the church and from without, and you could see a perspective or share a perspective that's unique to that experience. If you are one or the other, if you're always a Catholic And I find it's until today, even in dialogue with Protestants, evangelicals, that those two groups still don't quite get each other. But for me, because I spent time on both sides, I understand where Reagan's coming from. I understand where John Paul II's coming from. And to me, I see that how you one can make the transition between the different style churches, with, although at the end of the day, it's the same message that's coming through, the core message.
Sure, sure. No, I agree. I agree with you. I'm wondering here, Robert, the degree to which the assassination attempts helped bond them together. Did they talk explicitly about it? Was this a major impetus in uniting them?
I think they both had a life plan, and because they were successful and they were getting up there in years, I think the ambition side, let's say, or the calling side, was already in place. I think what the assassination did was it galvanized the mission. So I think for both of them, it was almost like they fixed the lens to be even more focused. And the fact that it happened so close, within 6 weeks of one another, when they finally did meet the next year in 1982, that was the opportunity for them to share how they felt about that unique experience. And Ronald Reagan said to the Pope that he was spared for the divine plan, and John Paul II agreed with him.
Yes.
So it wasn't like they had a lot of talk before that. I think it was only writing, Paul could correct that. I think they only wrote to each other before that, but that was the first meeting, and it was shared that they agreed they had been spared for even a more focused mission, which was to bring down the Soviet Union.
Yeah. Paul, what about that degree? What was the degree of communication between them before the assassination attempts?
Well, that's right. And so, I mean, Ronald Reagan, when he lost his pursuit for the presidential nomination for the Republicans in 1976, he told everybody he knew, his daughter Maureen, his son Michael, others, that well, God must have a reason for this. And Maureen said, no, you can't run in 1980. You'll be too old. Everyone says that you'll be too old. And he said, no, God has a purpose. There's a reason for this. And of course, that was clear in 1980. He won 44 out of 50 states. And then he saw the first Polish pope ever chosen in 1978, first non-Italian in 455 years, and then saw on his television set him go to Poland in June 1979. So all of this is coming together even tighter for him, the sense of God's purpose. And then, of all things, to see both of them shot just 6 to 8 weeks apart. Reagan was shot March 30th, 1981, and John Paul II on the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima, May 13th, 1981. They both probably should have, or at least could have, bled to death. So once they came together in June 1982 at the Vatican, they met alone for almost an hour in the Vatican Library. And you know, Reagan, from what we know of that meeting, he told Bill Clark, he told others, and Pio Laghi knew about this, Cardinal Zivich knew about this. The Vatican records are still sealed until the year 2057. We'll have to wait for those. But Reagan told him.
Do another interview.
Right. That's right.
But Reagan told him. He said, "You and I have been spared. There's a reason for this, and the reason he believed was now the two of them could work together so uniquely to take down Soviet communism."
Did they? How much detail did they share with one another in terms of a strategy, a takedown strategy, or were they dealing with broad themes, Robert?
I think it was a unity of broad themes to start with, but there's a triangulation which is not so much in the film, but in the broader sense of the subject we could discuss, and that is that at the time the Vatican also was playing a role with the United States to help put down some of the revolutionary matters that were in South America.
Right.
So you had the Pope also helping with bishops in South America, and there was a CIA triangulation. I'm not saying it's all tied together or that the Vatican was operating directly, but I'm saying that's those were kind of the geopolitical dynamics at the time. But there was clearly a CIA awareness. Who was it? I think Dick Allen said it was the oldest intelligence source they ever had was the Vatican.
Yeah.
So there was this exchanging of information going back and forth to the point where Dick Allen himself gave some of the satellites that went to John Paul II. When I interviewed him, he told me, like, step by step exactly what happened and that the Pope would review the satellite images of where what things look like. What's this? What are these ICBMs over here? So there was a lot of information exchanged, and mainly I think about where Poland was at, where troop movements were going on the ground. Beyond that, we're not behind those walls. We don't know exactly the language.
Right, right. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, we do know that their liaisons met a lot, and Bill Clark told me that he and Bill Casey would meet with Pio Laghi, who was basically the apostolic nuncio as the nunciature in Washington D.C. That they would meet with him, talk with him, meet with him, probably on average at least once a week in 1982 and 1983. And so you had those players at that level constantly in interaction, so much so that some members of Clark's NSC were feared that maybe they were, quote, overloading Vatican circuits of late.
Wow.
Unquote. That they were maybe talking too much. And Clark said, no, this is vitally important. We need to keep these channels of communication constantly open. Reagan and John Paul II exchanged about a dozen letters, I counted, between the two of them, just in 1981 alone.
Wow.
And then after that, they would meet with one another five times, which is about as many times as Reagan met with Gorbachev. So that would have been 1982, 84, twice in 1987, again in 1990. So they were in touch quite a bit. And Cardinal Dolan in the film uses the phrase, the Italian phrase, simpatico. Yeah, these were two men that really were kindred spirits. And though one was a Protestant and one was a Catholic, they really thought alike on many of the key issues, not just communism, but the sanctity and dignity of human life.
Yeah.
The uniqueness of the individual. What John Paul II said, every human being is precious and unrepeatable.
Yes.
That was language that Ronald Reagan himself used himself as well.
And also that freedom should be conformed to the truth. I think
right.
They both shared that. Reagan did not like the idea of license, of turning freedom into license. The screening's coming up on the 15th and 16th. What can you tell me, Robert?
So we're being hosted by the guest of the Orchard Schools
there
that you mentioned earlier. And we're going to do a talk beforehand, before the screening, and then we'll do a Q&A afterward with a panel of their choice.
And there are going to be two screenings?
Yes.
Okay. And one's Friday, March 15th, and the other is Saturday, March 16th. This is at Orchard Lake Shrine Chapel. And
it'll be Friday evening and Saturday morning.
Okay, very good. Yeah. And where's the best place for people to get information or to register or to get tickets or whatever they have to do?
They could write to the DivinePlanMovie.com.
DivinePlanMovie.com. Very good.
And just if they have any questions, and I could take it from there to let the people know.
Well, excellent. We're very excited that you've chosen to do this in Southeast Michigan. So we'll have people there and looking forward to it. Paul, are you going to be there?
I'll be there, and I'm really excited to come back. I love Ann Arbor and Domino's Farms and that whole area, and I don't think I've seen you, Al, in studio for at least 10 years.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
time goes by.
It does. So, I'm really looking forward to coming up there, and I really love that part of the country.
Great.
And the people.
Well, thank you so much, Robert. Good being with you, great making your acquaintance.
You too.
And, again, very excited about the movie coming out. And, Paul, talk to you soon. All right. Very good, Robert. Thanks.
Take care.
The movie is called The Divine Plan. You can go to DivinePlanMovie.com for more information. Again, mark it on your calendar, March 15th and March 16th. And more information available at DivinePlanMovie.com, also at AveMariaRadio.net.
Hey, man, this is Chris Stefanik. Are you up for a challenge this Lent? If you're ready to take things to the next level, head to MenRiseUp.org and join me and men from around the world starting March 6th for the Rise 30-Day Challenge. Rise has transformed thousands of men's lives with practical tools that will take your life and relationships to the next level. Everywhere I go, men are telling me how much of an impact Rise has had on themselves and their families. Rise starts on Ash Wednesday. Go to menriseup.org to register today. That's menriseup.org.
You don't think it'll happen to you twice. First, it was a fire. My agent was right there and helped me rebuild. Then the tornado destroyed everything again.
Both times, my independent agent and auto owners took care of me like someone takes care of family.
For whatever lies ahead, we're always there. Auto Owners Insurance.
For your no-obligation quote, please call Choice Insurance at 734-641-4200.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. Each week we go into the Ave Maria CD library. We pull on a talk or two to see what our Lord might have to say to us. Most of these talks are recorded at area gatherings and conferences. Most of the speakers are nationally known. The topics are varied, but they are all centered on the Lord, and they all are worth your listening time. You're back for Mass. It's not yet dinner time. Why not sit back and join us? Be fed on the Lord. Listen this and every Sunday afternoon at 3 for Putting On the Mind of Christ on 990 WDEL in the Metro Detroit area and 1440 WMAX in the Saginaw Valley. Putting On the Mind of Christ is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Cresta. So again, the movie The Divine Plan, God's Work Through John Paul II and Ronald Reagan, March 15th and March 16th in Southeast Michigan. More information available. It's coming up in April in Miami. We'll have more information about that as well. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net or DivinePlanMovie.com. And we've been talking a lot about Lent, trying to come up with some new activities. One of the ones that we're most excited about is From Genesis to Jesus. We spoke with Matthew Leonard about it and the St. Paul Center. That is a wonderful series. Tomorrow we'll be talking with Teresa Tomeo about Beyond Sunday. So again, trying to make it easy to have a consistent and thorough approach to Lent. So looking forward to joining you tomorrow as we continue to try to build the church in order to bless the nations. I'm Al Cresta.
Cresta in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. To follow up on any of the guests or information presented on today's program, visit the Cresta Guest Archive at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMaria Radio.net. To listen to this or any other edition of Cresta in the Afternoon, visit the audio archives at AveMariaRadio.net. Or to order a CD of the program, call 734-930-4506 or email orders at AveMariaRadio.net. That's 734-930-4506 or orders at AveMariaRadio.net.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. 22 states are suing President Trump because he says federal family planning dollars should not help support abortion providers. At stake is $60 million of Planned Parenthood funding. A poll released a week ago shows a 17-point shift with the pro-choice label falling down into a dead heat with those who embrace the pro-life label. A new poll finds a little good news for abortion supporters among the Democrat Party, but still reflects a 10% pro-life shift. 51% of respondents said the Democrat Party, despite its apparent affinity for abortion-related infanticide, is, quoting here, more mainstream on abortion. This is Life News Radio.
Slavery was wrong for something more than some notion that we don't like slavery anymore. It was wrong because property rights, which slave owners tried to claim, could not compare with the rights lost by those persons called slaves. Legalized abortion holds a similar rights conflict. Be courageous. Know the life issue. Understand the inherent conflicts in abortion. In other